Once upon a time, the Critical Care Scenarios podcast featured three formats: cases, lightning rounds, which were non-case-based discussions, and the turbo, the intermittent rantings of Brandon Odo, which were just monologues slash rants, sort of a column by me alone. And ever since we launched the Intensive Care Academy, ICU101.com, the turbos have basically moved over there. They've been rebranded as the Pearls, which are just standalone podcasts on isolated little topics. So if you're missing them, that's where they are now. But here and there, we do want to share one of those pearls on the main free feed here, just to give you a little sample of what's going on, so we don't have everything hidden away behind a paywall. So this is Academy Bites, little samples, intermittent releases from the Pearls slash Turbos, so you can hear them here. If you want more, of course, you know where to go, ICU101.com. Otherwise, here's your show. Hey, everyone, it's Brandon with another Pearl. Topic today is the effective care and feeding of your night shift staff, the clinicians and providers who are taking care of your patients overnight. You know, most ICUs, I would say, as an average sort of thing, work on something along the lines of a 12-on, 12-off schedule. This means that you, whether it's an advanced practice person, a physician, whatever, are many times there for, quote, the day. And the day team usually kind of shapes the direction of care. They will round, they will make a plan, and they will at some point go home and sort of hope or expect that their plan is continued or executed when they're not there at night. And they're going to sign out to someone else who's going to cover the patients during those off hours, and then they're going to come back and see what has changed. Now, there are differences everywhere, but I think that's a reasonable kind of way to summarize typical coverage. The problem is that what's also very common, to the point of being a kind of favored activity in a lot of ICUs, is that the day team comes around and they walk in a big circle and they see each patient, and then they hear about what happened since they last saw them overnight or since they went home, and then they stand around and complain about it. Why do they complain about it? Usually because from their perspective at the time, they don't understand why certain things were done, why certain clinical decisions were made. This could have been a new admission. This could have been someone that was already known to them and then something changed or something happened. And from their perspective now, the things that were done seem wrong, maybe wrong in a way that they can imagine how or why they got it wrong, or maybe wrong in an inexplicable way, and they're just kind of throwing up their hands saying, why did this happen? What is this all about? Of course, the underlying problem here is that the night shift people are not there to explain themselves. And if with that, you know, mere thing, just an explanation, a lot of this might be avoided. But for obvious reasons, those people are probably home asleep because they were up all night. So some time ago, I came across, and I wish I could credit the person who wrote this, but it was somewhere online, probably like medical Twitter, that growing cesspool. But, you know, there's these little pearls that make it worthwhile. And the line here was basically the one and only thing that the day shift people really are able, have the right to say to the night shift or off hours coverage when they're taking over. And this could literally mean to their face as you reassume care, but it also kind of implies what you should be saying or thinking as you, you know, look at the case in their absence and how you should view their care. And this is the line. You were here when we were not. You did what you thought was best. So, thank you. Every word here is important and relevant. The underlying issue here is that they were there with the patient at the bedside and you were not. And there are a lot of layers to this. But basically, at the end of the day, there are two possibilities. The thing they did was right in context. And there is a lot of context that's important here. There's the fact that they were physically there looking at the patient, which you now cannot. You can only look at it in retrospect. There's the fact that they were managing things and making decisions prospectively, right? Not retrospectively. They didn't know how things were going to fall out. You have the benefit of knowing everything that happened, everything that would happen, how all the chips were going to fall, any data that was pending, and so on. They didn't have any of that. There's the fact that they were probably sleep deprived and it was the middle of the night and their cortisol was very low. They were not in the strongest position to make the very best decision. There was a joke by one of the medical Twitter people at one point. It was like, thank you all for gathering around this mobile workstation. I've asked all the best minds in this enormous academic center to weigh in and judge the decisions that I, a confirmed idiot, made after 30 hours of continuous wakefulness. Something like that. You get how fundamentally silly that is to really try to judge something like that. You know, in the light of day when you all have your coffee and everyone's, you know. There's a fact that there are limited resources at night. You don't have access to the same expertise or consultation or even some of the same tools and tests and treatments. Whatever. Maybe they were right at the time. And the reason that it seems wrong to you now is because of the change in context. Maybe they just literally can't explain what they were thinking because they're not here. Or maybe it was some of those factors. Things looked different at the bedside at the time, whatever. If they were right, then of course you wouldn't be complaining. Or they were wrong. Now, let me just first tackle the former. What's the best way to avoid people bitching about you while you're not there if you are the night person and they're going to look at the case 12 hours from now without the benefit of any of that? Write notes. I think Matt Shuba on the free podcast made this point very explicitly. You know, just document what, not just what happened, not just the facts, you should do that too, but what you were thinking. The thought process. And, you know, if you have a complex patient, you're staying at the bedside, doing a lot of resuscitation, fine-tuning a lot of things, you're doing, you know, sophisticated vent management, titration of pressors and managing hemodynamics, a lot of things like that. There are a lot of things you're weighing, pros, cons, you know, of course, limited data, but a lot of data that's going into your thoughts. Just put it down, what you're thinking. Now, you can't spend all day writing a novel here, but you can often write a lot, and it's often worth writing a lot, at least a fair amount. Don't just say nothing and don't just say what you did, but say why. And that way, even though you're not going to be here to explain yourself later, perhaps your notes do. All right, what about the case where they're actually wrong? Now, this, again, splits into two possibilities. Either they're wrong in a way that anyone would have been wrong. You know, it was those factors like, you know, you play the kind of the best odds you can, but it in the end, it ended up being the wrong choice. And then, hopefully, even the day people can appreciate that there's no beating that. They would have been wrong, too. But what they're really thinking about is the case where the night person was wrong, but they would have been right. The person looking at this case, they would have made the right decision. It's obvious what should have been done, and the person who actually was there did it wrong. But they weren't there. Why were they not there? Because they were asleep. Why were they asleep? Because it was nighttime and they liked to be asleep at night. And because they liked to be asleep at night, they got someone else to come cover the patients overnight. And of course, they probably didn't build that system, but that's the reason that system was built, because these day people standing around during the day complaining like to be asleep at night, so someone else is covering their patients. You could imagine the alternative. Those people never went home. And then this wouldn't be an issue because they would be the ones managing the patients. But that's not the case. There was shift coverage, so somebody else was there. So what is it that you're complaining about? Are you complaining that someone else was seeing your patients, managing them as they saw fit? And if so, what's the alternative? Are you volunteering to stay overnight tonight and then every night because this could happen anytime? Of course you're not. Now, some people will, in a moment of bravado, will talk like they're volunteering to do this, but it's not a real offer. And many people will sort of split the difference and try to be kind of on call, whether they're on call or not, to paraphrase Jay-Z. You know, they'll say, they'll leave and they'll be like, you know, call me about anything. You know, I don't care if I'm technically on or not. Just call and then, you know, I'll tell you what to do. I'll make a decision. But this is not real. And first of all, they don't literally mean that. They don't mean call for anything, because if they start getting called, well, this patient's potassium was a little bit low or some other nonsense like that, they're not going to be glad. They're going to be mad because they think it's nonsense. But that just means there's now a judgment decision of what is actually important and worth calling them. And you clearly don't have the same judgment because they said, call me for, quote, anything, which means even small things, but some things are too small. So now you still have to decide, but you can't use your own judgment because they said, don't use your judgment, use my judgment. But you don't know their judgment because they're not there. More importantly, though, calling someone who's not there for a decision does not necessarily yield better decisions because they're not there. You just woke them up at 2 a.m. They don't have any of the context that is going into this, such as you sitting at the bedside for the past several hours, watching things change and evolve. They can't physically see the patient and so on. And so without any of that, you're now asking them to make a decision. And even if they are smarter or a better person or better trained or more experienced or whatever, that's a lot of strikes against them. So you're assuming that that additional whatever, let's say experience, is enough to counteract the fact that they just kind of rolled over in the middle of a dream and you said, this patient's hypotensive, what should we do? That's a tough thing for anyone. So again, they are depending on the fact that somebody is here at the bedside seeing patients, and at some point, they're going to have to accept that. So what is it that they're complaining about? That the person that they thought was wrong is not trained enough, not experienced enough? That's all possible, of course. I'm not saying that they have to be perfect. They could have stuck somebody to cover the night who was not, frankly, competent to do this thing. But you could have the best person in the world there, and they could still complain about these things because people will do things differently, right? They could have if it's an attending intensivist, there could be another attending intensivist there, and they can complain about that. Now, by and large, people who complain like this will not complain about somebody who is, you know, trained at the same level or a colleague or never mind their boss, because what's the word? They're smart enough not to do that, to piss off their colleagues. They have enough tact not to do that. But if that's the case, then of course that just means if they're willing to do that with, quote, subordinates, then they're just happy to sort of punch down. They might think that their colleague did something wrong, but they're not going to complain about it. But really what it means is that they're not wrong, it was different. And of course, we all do things differently. And if you can't accept that, then, you know, collaborative medicine is not the best world for you. You want to be in a private practice somewhere where it's just you in an office in the middle of a reservation or something where there's nobody to disagree with you. So again, what are you complaining about when the night shift does something different? That they're not you, and you're not willing to be there. So all this is not to say, again, that the night person cannot be wrong. And there is a pitfall here in that often people who are doing nights, and especially if they do a lot of them, like that's their sole schedule, they can kind of fall into a pit. You know, let's take the example of an advanced practice provider, because many places, they provide a lot of night coverage. Many times if they're new, let's say a new grad, they'll get initial training on day shift where kind of everyone is around, and then they'll go off to nights, and that can be kind of a black hole where there's not a lot more training. There's experience because there's a lot of patients and acuity at night, so there's learning on the job, but not so much structured stuff. So there's the real possibility. They can fall into bad habits. They can kind of lose the thread of doing things for good medical reasons because of physiology or evidence or whatever, and just doing things because they get in the habit of it or whatever. And it can be hard to reach those people because they're kind of never around. They're always there at night. Unless you have maybe, you know, someone in-house with them overnight, like, you know, an in-house attending. But there is an issue there. And I don't really have a great answer, but I do think there should probably be some sort of processes for providing feedback or continued teaching to off-hours people, some structured way perhaps, because otherwise there's not a great way to give that feedback. And it's certainly what it should not be is just like taking sign out and then complaining in their face about what they did. They're never going to be in the right headspace for that when they've just been awake for 15 hours and they're like just trying to get out of it. There's literally almost no situation where that would be correct. They could have like murdered somebody and that would still not be correct. Let them go get them some sleep first. I'd be curious any opinions people have on the right way to go about this, kind of allowing for continued learning and whatever QI or growth for people who are primarily doing off-hours schedules like this. But in any case, let's just say that if you are not that person, then your basic mindset has to be just assuming the best of any decisions that were made by the off-hours person,
even if from your perspective now, it's not how you would have done it. Those possibilities are, like I said, that you just don't see the reasons now. It's just a difference in practice, or they were wrong and there was something they didn't get. But if you want them to never be wrong and to know all the things that you know, then you should have been there. And you weren't, and you're not willing to. So anything else, any kind of wandering around, complaining, is just tasteless. It's punching down and basically complaining about somebody who was doing you a service, doing something that you weren't willing to do. And that's not good for anyone. Let me know what you think, guys. Talk to you next time.